Good.
It is not being recorded.
It'll be used against
us. Reish Ayin Aleph. Nesir Shalom. Or is Dalit?
Ayin Aleph.
Unless I didn't write down the last one.
I have Reish Ayin Base.
You're probably right. Yes, you are definitely right.
Can you wind that back again?
Right, Reish Ayin Base.
Play it for home. But we could start here, it's fine.
We're holding it down by this thing over here.
That's what I have right here.
Let's start by the beginning of the Maimon. Maimon Achad Osar. Which is Boya Bar Nashlam Lucha the Kuchibriko Kol Everly Lay. The heading of this chapter is a person needs to king Hashem over every one of his limbs. It's a tikkun ezoya. As he begins, Boya Bar Nashlam Lucha the Kuchibriko Kol Everly Lay, the tikkun ezoya says that a person needs to king the Rabbeinu Shleilam on every single one of his limbs. It says in the Sivu Sholem, Shleimus Yehudi, who Shia Yehudi b'chol malo yishir kan mosai. The perfection of a Jew is that a Jew should be a Jew throughout his entire being. Hein memidos, whether it's his emotions. I'm sorry. Hein memidos hamoyach, whether it is in the character of the intellect, which are deoisa ashkefoisa, which are a person's opinions and philosophy. Hein mimidos halev, whether it's the character of the heart, which is hargashoisa v'chukoisa, which is a person's feelings and desires. Hein mimidos vayevorim, or whether it's the character of one's limbs, which are domei v'chelvei, a person's blood and fat. To the point, as the Pasuk says, my heart and my flesh will rejoice to the living God. As it's written in the Sefer Beit Avraham, he writes the following words, if a person accepts upon himself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, the hainu al kol ha'ivarim shalai, upon all of his limbs, the bilti hishir boy eiver echad mushlal min haKabbalah, without leaving out any limb from this acceptance of the yoke of heaven. Ve'im koy also, if a person does so, it is a adam shalem v'loy ba'amum ruchni, that this person is a whole person, he is not spiritually blemished. Ve'oz shechin tasharia boy, and then the shechinah can dwell within him. As Chazal say, Shechinta Sharia Ba'asar Shalem V'lei Ba'asar Pogim. The Shechinah dwells in a whole place and not in a compromised place. So a whole place, a place that's completely whole, is a place that Oil Malach Hashemayim, the yoke of the kingdom of the heaven, dwells upon every single, upon the entire being. Shemehem Betariyaga Mitzvahs, and the 613 Mitzvahs, Shemehem Mitzvahs Atluyus B'mayach, which within those Mitzvahs are Mitzvahs that are dependent on the intellect. Shemehem Atluyus B'leiv, there are Mitzvahs that are dependent on the heart, by Be'evorim or on the limbs. Heim Heim HaMekadshim U'mataharim Gufay Shal Yehudi, they are the ones that sanctify and purify the body of a Jew. Remach Evadav Shusog Yidav, his 248 limbs and his 365 sinews. Shiyu Kulam Yehudim, that they should all be Jewish. Choloshan HaZohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Tariag Mine Ite Yoy Vairaisa the Barnash, the Meve Shlim Bemore, that the Torah HaKadosh gives 613 forms of advice how a person should be whole with his master. The chumoshim yes shituk b'chelik me'aguf, and just like that, if there is any type of paralyzation in any part of the body, kol aguf b'sakana, the entire body is in danger. So also the perfection of Judaism, that a person should be Jewish in all of his limbs. Meaning that all of his limbs should have a connection to Hashem. And just like everyone understands that in the higher half of a person, which is the intellect and the heart, that a person has not perfected his Judaism without Jewish philosophy and Jewish feelings. So also on the lower half of a person, which are the dwelling place of one's taivas, one's desires. Gama taivas sorach shetiyana yehudiyos loikumay goyo behem achas v'shalom. So also a person's desires need to be Jewish desires, not the desires of an animal. I guess there is such a thing as Jewish desires.
Kugel.
Why are you saying
that?
Herrick.
That's what he's saying. Gamma taivis tzor shetiyan. He means the taivit connected to the Baruch Shalom. That's what he's meaning. That's what he means.
If you are perfecting the Ramachim Borim, which include the lower base of Tivus, that perfection doesn't mean that you are avoiding them, but they are somehow being transformed into a different direction. But you're still using the same operating system, the same Tivus.
So your Tivus are to... You're saying that you're, so you're what you're channeling your taivas to use them for,
not for Bahamas.
Not for Bahamas.
It's still using the same desires and the same flesh and the same base instincts, but it's not for the Bahamas. So you may be engaging in exactly the same act as a behemoth, but yours is a Yehudius. It's a type of Judaism because it's been refined.
What's refined mean in that sense?
No, I think what Dr. Unger is saying is absolutely true. It's a frame of mind. When a person... It's the story with the cat. Remember, I told you the story.
Which story?
The Rishoner used to tell the story. To his chassidim that the Rebbe Yonasan Eibshitz was apparently he was very close to the wherever he lived. He was close to the governor or the. Not sure what it was, and he was under the Rianis Nabis had established that it's impossible to train an animal to be on the level. It's impossible to train a chai to be on the level of a badaber. It's impossible to train an animal to be on the level of a human being. And there were others in the cabinet that disagreed with him, and the governor called for a test that each one should try to prove their point. So they were there was a feast, and the governor said to the to the opposing side, "Okay, prove your point." So the person clapped their hand, and the door opened, and a cat walked in with a tray, holding as a waiter holding a tray of food. He came coming in to serve. The guy was proving his point that this cat is able to be a waiter. At that point, Rabbi Yonasanovich just pulled out a small tabak pishki, and a small they used to carry around these small boxes to hold tobacco in. And he opened it up, and out popped a mouse. And the cat dropped everything and ran for the mouse. So so Rabbi Yonasanovich proved his point. So the Rishon said that told us Chassidim that you see that if a person drops everything that they stand for the sake of Taivas, you're not a human being. You're an animal. So a person can have Taivas. It's just when the person has their Taiva, do they drop everything? Do they drop all of their moral standards? Do they drop all of their kedusha when they're involved in their taiva? Does their taiva carry some level of kedusha that it can coincide along with everything else that the person is doing? Does the person turn into an animal when he has his taivas, or can he maintain his level of humanity?
Just don't ask yourself that question around a kiddush.
What?
Just don't ask yourself that question around a kiddush.
A kiddush is one of the easier times to control yourself.
And various groups have struggled with that very question, right? I mean, the whole Musa school is designed to teach us that, you know, it's a very pessimistic view about our ability to overcome that. And so the whole system is designed to break that through various techniques. And by Chassidim, various different hope or pessimism on that scale. So on the right-hand side, Chabad feels that every Chabad hostel is able to do it. And on the extreme left, in Breslov, only the tzaddik is able to overcome this, and the rest of us can only attach ourselves to the tzaddik in the hope that he will rescue us from that. And so it's a very pessimistic.
I think that every I don't want to say dafke every chassid, but there is the sense of having Moyach Shalat al Alev. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but I think it's something accessible. I hope it's something accessible to everyone. Whenever
Reb Leibel Eichler came to Kotsk, so he walked into the Beis Medrash with a glass of water, and he starts shuckling and buri chator, and basically they started poking fun at him, and I think they either threw him out the window or whatever. And they said, Akiva Label Ashleima, you're fooling yourself. I mean, that's the whole Kotz thing, right?
Yeah.
Don't fool yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, even just the first paragraph that he said there, you know, like, if you're not shoveling down your home, you know, you're not, the machine is not there. I mean, that's kind of a tall order. I mean, on the one hand, you know, you want to have hope that you can make. On the other hand, he's saying, you know, what are you, children, what are you? You know, you're sort of like, you're puggled, you're shut out. I mean, what, you know what I'm saying?
It's a work in progress.
Right, I understand it. Right. There's a tremendous tension.
Yeah, it's every day, twice a day, we're mekabel ol malchus shemayim. We accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven when we say Kriyat Shema. and we accept upon the yoke of heaven over every single limb in our body. So that all he's saying is that there needs to be a Kabbalah, and that there needs to be a Ratzon, that there needs to be a true will, a true Ratzon, that a Jew should really want that every limb of his body should be under the yoke of heaven. Again, it's a tall order, but if the Ratzon is there, he Ratzon. Right, if the Ratzon is there, Shetisha Shechina v'Masi Yedechem, right, then the Shechina, that's this week's Pasha, then the Shechina is already there. The Shechina is already dwells in the person's handiwork. But there's got to be a Ratzon. There's got to be, a person's got to set their goals for something that is even that tall of an order. Although the word tzaddik appears in all the Hasidic Shesvarim when we're talking about these levels, we have a Kabbalah that the word tzaddik is a reference to Va'amech Kulam Tzaddikim. The Pasuk says Va'amech Kulam Tzaddikim, the entire nation is tzaddikim, meaning that the Ratzon of every Jew is to be that tzaddik. That's what we can't. When we see that word tzaddik, we can't close the sefer and say, okay, this is for the tzaddik, and it's not for me. Every yid has to strive to be that tzaddik.
But he never talks about the notion of surrender, does he? I mean, it's always a battle, and you've got to fight that battle. Right. It just sounds like a musa sefer, right? and at some point, how do we differ as Hasidim from these musa sefer? It is that point.
Musa sefer.
At some point, no. I think that it's actually a very important point. That at some point, a chassid says, you know, Ribbono Shel Ich Kenet, I surrender to you. I surrender even this Yetzer Hara.
Right. I think he mentions it numerous times. That is that the knowledge needs to be there, that it's without Siyat Deshmaya, without the Ribbono Shel Olam helping me through this, it's not going to happen. But if a person can't give up, if surrender means, okay, you know, I'm not doing anything, but you take over, that's not surrender, that's giving up, that's despair. Right, you have to know the difference between surrender and despair.
You've spoken about that already a few times. We have to make that effort.
Right. You have to put in the effort, knowing that we don't have the ability. Tzaddik says, Parshas Vayetze. Tzaddik says, you know what you're referring to? Tzaddik says that this Chazal, that the Chazal say that Lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Israel Yochale, if Hashem wouldn't help the person would never be able to overcome the Yetzirah. So Reb Tzaddik says that really the Yetzer Hara is stronger than us. It's not, what Chazal are telling us is that it's not possible for the person to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So the notion out there that Hashem only gives you an assignment that you can overcome is not true. That's what Reb Tzaddik says. Meaning, you can't overcome it without Hashem's help.
No.
So what do we say? Don't worry about it?
No. So the Tzaddik says that the person, for that, the person needs to daven. If you don't daven for that assistance, you're not going to get it. If you don't daven for that assistance, they say that's why we daven. We find that he asks, we find all these tefillahs, v'satzi leinu mi'yetzer hara, Hashem, save me from the yetzer hara. What do you mean, save me from the yetzer hara? Hashem gave you yetzer hara for you to fight it. What do you mean, what are you asking Hashem to help you for? He says, no, Hashem wants your tefillahs. You need to daven for that assistance. He said, but that assistance won't come if you don't daven for it, and if you're not doing everything in your power to overcome your yetzer hara. He says that there's two parts. There's the part that is within your ability to overcome, that you have to overcome, and then there is the part that's above and beyond your ability to overcome, that Hashem will help you overcome if you doubt.
Dr. Unger, can you say what you mean by surrender in light of...
Exactly that. No, the point between the first and the second point is the point at which... And Reb Tzadok is quoting his master, the Ishbitz, here by Yehuda and Tamar, that the point at which you've done everything you can and you go, this tithe is... Rabboni Shalom, what do you want from me? And now I'm turning it over to you. Right. That's that point of surrender.
So again,
well, then what happens? Do you go ahead and do it, or
no? Ishbit said, "No." Ishbit says, "How do we say that Yehuda didn't sin, or that Dov didn't sin?" He has a whole. There's a 10-step process. You know, Biror. You go through the ninth to the ninth process. And at the ninth process, you've really worked on your works in it, then you just turn it over to Rabboni Shalom, because you know then that's his rotzon. It's about whose rotzon is this? He put in the Yetzer Hara. But again, I think that's talking about Tzadikim. I really do.
Right, So in order to, let's go back to Dr. Unger's first question. Is this a Sefer Musar or not? No. He's talking about that first part. Whatever your ability to do, that's a battle. You have to accomplish that. With the knowledge, though, that I don't have the ability on my own to accomplish this, I'm going to daven for Hashem to help me, because I know that I am powerless against this Yetzer.
And in different Hasidic thinkers, you have a different emphasis on, you know, how much do you turn over, at what point do you turn over. You quoted Reb Tzadok, that, you know, the Stefanesht and the Rishna school is much more into this kind of surrendering earlier on. There is a spectrum as to where along that line is that point of surrender, depending on the Tzadok.
Right. I mean, everybody agrees a person can't just say, you know, this is a terrible Messiah, and Rabbi Shlomo, if you don't get rid of this Messiah, I'm going to die. I'm just going to do the Avera. You can't do that. Everybody agrees that.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to find is the distinction between that and
no,
surrender.
What
I'm missing something big here, I know.
No, you're hitting on the essential difference between I can do it or I can't do it. I think that is exactly the point.
The story with the chassid and the tavern.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So remember the story of the chassid and the tavern. He wasn't here. In short, an alcoholic, basically. I don't know why you call him a chassid. An alcoholic knows he's got
a holy drunk. Shlomo calls him a holy drunk.
Right. The holy drunk is. Wants to go to shul, and he made up his mind he's not going to have any more alcohol. So he decides, okay, I'm going to go to shul. I'm not going to pass the tavern. I'm going to go the other way. And then this little voice inside of him says, "What kind of machamas ayeter is that? Right? What kuntz is that? Go through the tavern and don't drink." Basically, he goes through the tavern, and then as he's about to pass by, this little voice inside of him says, "Well, if you don't go into the tavern, of course you're not going to drink. You have to go in and not drink." And obviously, at the end,
you have to order an orange juice and not scotch. And then he says, "Well, the orange juice looks just with a bit of vodka, and it looks just like an orange juice. It doesn't look like a whiskey." And that's over.
So if a person surrenders before he steps out of his house, and says, you know, I'm not even going to do the minimum and just walk the other way. That's everybody agrees that's not the right model. A person happens to find themselves in the tavern.
So where's the surrender
after you've done whatever was in your ability to do?
And for each person, that's different.
Of course.
Taiva, that's different.
So and it's a very different tzaddikim. Truly, a person has to.
But it trickles down. It trickles down to us in a different way to them, to the Musa school, in the sense that for us, the Eibishter wants the broken heart. He's not going to measure you by the actions. He's going to.
I'll tell you what Dr. Unger means. Post facto.
Right.
That's what he means. After the person has done the avera, how much you're going to beat yourself up about it. That is the difference. the Chassidish Sfarim, the even the Shini Verov was really halachic based. Rabbi said that before when a person has an assign, the person has to do whatever is in their ability to overcome the assign. After the person has transgressed the Avera, the person has to believe Emuna Shalema that was the Ratzon Hashem. And that at this point, now Hashem wants me to correct this. Hashem wanted me to be here, and Hashem wants me to correct this.
So it's an ex post facto surrender? Is that what we're talking about? Not before it happens, but after it happens, you surrender to the will of Hashem.
What he's saying? What?
Not about a surrender.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That is definitely true. You have to surrender to the will of Hashem, but now...
After it happens.
But in a sense of... Now, my avodah changes. My avodah now is... It's, instead of, I'm a terrible person, I'm a piece of garbage, and therefore, forget it all. It's no. What I did was, obviously, it had to be done. And now I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem and do whatever I need to do to be mistaken. This is what the Rebbe Shlomo wants.
To not do it again.
Not only not to do it again, to do whatever I can do to correct this. To correct this situation. To do tshuva on the situation. That's the broken heart is Lev Nishba Venitka is a broken heart is what the Rebbe Shlomo.
So how is a broken heart different from I'm a piece of garbage and so
despair is not a broken heart. Despair is
yish.
It's not going anywhere. A broken heart is.
Rabbi, you have to tell the story of Reb Zish and Reb Melech.
No.
In the middle of the night, Reb Melech wakes up Zish and says, "Zish, had I been in Gan Eden, I would have been."
By my other version?
Yeah.
I've read the story from my father, so I don't really. I'll tell you how he says it. How the story my father says. My father said that Reb Zisha, he said, all the neshamas were included in Adam Rishon. All the neshamas that were ever be. So he said, so Zisha, I understand why I allowed him to do the Aveira. Because I'm a chayta, I'm a sinner. He said, but Zisha, why did you let your neshama be involved in this in the chayt? So Zisha said, Mailach, I'll tell you how. He said, I couldn't bear living through the rest of time thinking that perhaps the Nachash really has something to sell. I wanted to know once and for all that there's really nothing there. That's how my father told the story.
The way I heard it was that
I think each person is going to throw a twist.
It's the same deer, but it's a sharper. Melech said, had I been there, I would have stopped him. I would have stopped him.
He was there, though, yeah.
I wouldn't let him sit. I would have grabbed that apple and I wouldn't let him done it. So Zisha says, Melech, you don't understand. It was the best thing that happened. Can you imagine Adam Arishan waking up the next morning thinking he was God? So every time I sin, I am waking up the next moment saying, Rabbi Shalom, I'm still not divine. I'm only a broken human being. And that stops the despair and the Morish Choyer and the Atzvus. Rabbi Shalom, you're the Rabbi Shalom, and I'm still a broken Yid. A broken Yid, I mean a broken heart. That is the Nechama, the comfort.
But a person that doesn't battle at all is not a broken human being, just an animal.
Well, the point is that we are in Dveikus, we are in communion, we're in Hisodus, we're always in relationship with the Divine. It's not that we're sitting on our own, alone, and this is what I've done, you know, so I can live in my own, wallow in my own despair. It is in that kind of, there's always this dynamic.
So the word of the Imam says that It says that the Sar Shel Esav said to Yaakov after their struggle, Sar Shel Esav said to Yaakov, your name should no longer be Yaakov, your name should be Yisrael. Because you battled, you struggled with the Sar Shel Esav, and you overcame it. So the Rambam asks, why did he name him Yisrael, which is naming him for the struggle? He should have named him Batuchal, that he was victorious. So the Rambam said that because that's not the main point. The main point is the struggle. Whether you succeed at the end or not is really not that relevant. The Yisrael is called Yisrael for the struggle.
This is like in the last section of Siddur HaShabbos, the distinction between Rabbi Eliezer, who was perfect, and Rabbi Akiva, who struggled. Maybe the one thing that Hashem is not capable of is struggle. Because
he hasn't struggled.
He's in the struggle. He doesn't. So the only way Hashem can have struggle is through us.
The idea of the Musa Roth, the creation of the world, was the ambition to experience the struggle through the human being. It's the deepest part of the
Arizal. You and the Arizal.
Huh? I said that's too deep for me.
That's why we have coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Can I add something?
That was pretty good.
Please.
I like that.
I heard the story when I walked in. And apparently you're talking about one thing, and I think I'm going to be introducing something a little tangential. Yosef HaTzadik, you heard about him, right?
Yeah. Slightly.
We spoke about him yesterday.
What did he do? Pop gave him a cup. I didn't ask for it. He got a cup. He had dreams. He didn't make up stories. He told the dreams. They beat the stuff out of him and wanted to kill him. And later, Mrs. Potiphar does her number.
He doesn't say anything.
And then, after 10 years in prison, he says, do me a favor, see if you can get me out of here. To the butler. You don't hear from Yosef. He's silent. But the end is, I call it the bird's eye view of life. You look up Yosef's life, he was beaten up big time in many ways. And suddenly he said, now I get it. He stood before Pare and the whole thing was turned around. But his silence knocks me out. In other words, three major times he could have
said,
I didn't. That's it.
Shkoyach. Oh, one time, what are they supposed to dominate, no?
Yeah.
All right. We're at the same place we finished last week.